Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
The world is often uncertain, but it has only been in the last half millennium that we've found ways to interact mathematically with that concept. From its roots in death statistics, insurance, and gambling, to modern Bayesian networks and machine learning, we've seen immense productivity in the field of probability and statistics. Every way of looking at probability has something in common: the use of random variables. Random variables let us talk about events with uncertain outcomes in a concrete way. So what are random variables? How are they defined? And how do they interact? All of this and more on this episode of Breaking Math. Episode 68, LOL So Random. I'm Sophia.
And I'm Gabriel.
And this is Breaking Math. And with us, we have on Millie Oriano, who's a host of the Nerd Forensics podcast.
Hello, and I'm happy to be on you guys' show again. If you haven't heard, I'm the host of Nerd Forensics. We discuss things like why Transformers was made the way it was and stuff like that. But, you know, we try to keep it smart.
I think Nerd Forensics is actually a very good, is the word palate cleanser for Breaking Math. Breaking Math, of course, we talk about very deep topics about mathematics and engineering and science and the physical world. And Nerd Forensics is lighter. It's made by the same folks. Well, of course, you know, yourself too.
Yeah, made by the same folks. I mean, you've probably heard my voice on a lot of advertisements lately for Breaking Math.
I have continuously told, this is a quick little side tangent, I've continuously told Millie that she needs to go into professional advertising. I think your voice is so good for it. So this is just me giving you a little plug and a vote of confidence on the show. So for our Breaking Math listeners, obviously there's more to life than just math and empiricism, believe it or not. And Nerd Forensics is a chance to hear you know, some deep dive analysis about pop culture and even some niche facts that you may not know about Batman or Power Rangers or Star Trek or anything niche at all.
Or failed presidential assassins, if you're a history buff.
Yeah. So, again, I just wanted to put that out there and suggest that you all give it a listen for a nice, for a change of pace and some interesting facts that you may not know.
Oh, yeah. And what's your latest episode about again? I mean, I was on that one.
The latest episode is called Episode 4, A New Pope. And it's about how Mel Gibson and his father tried to start their own Catholic church.
Yeah.
And just for the listeners who are thinking about this show, it's great. I recommend it. Just for anyone out there who might be a little bit young, it is explicit. So, you know, avoid that.
Yes. I like the fact that we're talking about random variables, and that show itself seems quite random as well. So can I encourage our listeners also, send us your favorite random topic that we may wish to talk about or that you'd like to hear us talk about on Nerd Forensics. Who knows? Perhaps we'll just do it.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I had some guy ask about basketball earlier on my messages, and we're going to do an episode about David Robinson and the 92 Dream Team.
Nice, nice.
All right, so now we're going to talk about random variables. And Gabriel, I know we've talked about random variables on the show before in passing as part of statistics, but I thought we'd go into random variables per se. So Gabriel, during your graduate degree in electrical engineering, did you ever run into random variables?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This was one of the hardest classes. I feel like I say that about all my classes, and I'm not meaning to scare away any engineering students. No, it's great. It's great. It's a great class. But yes, we had a classes in stochastic methods. Goodness, I'm trying to think of the name of the class. It was a huge part of one of my classes. In fact, the class where I wrote a program to simulate the Monty Hall problem. We use these every single day in that class.
Oh, yeah. And Millie, have you heard of a random variable?
Yes, I've heard of a random variable.
And what's your experience with that term?
My experience with that term is random variables basically constitute things that can happen in life that at random. Like the winning the lottery. That's a random variable.
See, and in the field of probability and statistics, it has a very similar meaning. But what it is it's a way of relating outcomes with probabilities, right? Well, I mean, that's more of the technical definition, but an example of a random variable would be the outcome of a coin toss, right?
Yeah.
Or like you said, the winner of a lottery could be a random variable, right? The social security number of the winner of the lottery could even be the random variable. Then you could define it as an integer, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Coins and dice are examples of discrete random variables because they each have one outcome, right? Coin is either heads or tails. Dice is 1 through 6, but you don't get, like, you can't roll pi.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not entirely 1 through 6. It might be, you know, you might have a D60, D30.
Oh, yeah. You have a certain range of numbers, right?
Yeah, you'll have a certain range of numbers.
But, like, but there's not an infinite one.
Yeah.
Which is in contrast to continuous random variables. Which have an infinite range, so like a spinner, basically.
You know what? I kind of noticed this is like the last episode I was in, but we're not going to be talking about anybody being, you know, gruesomely, like, killed.
Oh, yeah, you have been on 2 episodes that are about kind of like probability and statistics.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Anyways, not to keep us on task here, other examples of continuous random variables, things like height, obviously.
Oh, yeah, like the height of a population.
Yes.
That is actually also a bell curve. That's what it's called colloquially, less colloquially, a standard normal distribution. But we'll talk about that in due time. And of course, there's mixed random variables, which can be seen as a sum of a discrete and a continuous variable. And this is something like, let's say you had a die, but if it rolls a 6, then you flick a spinner, and then you use that as the outcome. That would be a mixed random variable. Or if you had like a population, you wanted to measure their height versus their sitting height versus their standing height. People who either couldn't stand or didn't have legs would, the difference would be 0. So it'd be there'd be a bunch with that one difference in height, but then everything else would be a real number.
If you are a blue collar worker in New York in the Marvel universe and you lose your job, there is a 100% chance that you're going to take it out on Spider-Man.
And that's actually, you can actually view each person, each blue collar worker, right, as you can actually model that as a random variable, right, as a Poisson process, something that's continuously likely. So everybody has a certain likelihood of being fired. And when they are fired, each one of those events, which are distributed evenly, will be times that Spider-Man has to fight. So the expected value of the amount of people that Spider-Man has to fight in a given week can be calculated using random variables. And we'll talk about those kind of methods.
Jeez.
Wow.
His life must really suck if he just has to fight every unemployed blue-collar guy in New York.
My goodness, yeah.
Is he a friend of the working people?
No, he is a friend of the working people. It's just, okay, it's totally, you remember that guy from The Jerk that just lost his job and decided to kill Steve Martin for no reason?
Oh, yeah.
That's basically what they all do to Spider-Man. Or New York.
That's right. In the case of Venom in the original series, didn't Eddie
That's
Brock...
That's exactly what happened.
He lost his job. His job as a journalist, right?
He lost his job as a journalist. And then you have... you lose your job. You go after Spider-Man. That's okay. The first thing you do. It's like a mental derangement people in New York have.
Yeah.
All right. So how are random variables defined? And... So they're written like any other variable, like x, y, whatever, z, but a measurable function is how they're actually defined. So what a measurable function, we've talked about measure theory before, and we can't really go totally over it, but you go from one space to another. The function maintains a measurability. So basically, outcomes are distinct from one another, so they are discretely measurable. Yeah, so for example, let's say that there's like a 10% chance of rain tomorrow, 2% chance of snow, and 88% chance of sunniness. And that one isn't from, it's not from numbers to numbers. It's from a list of things to numbers, from a set to numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about random variables is Millie, so if there's a 10% chance of rain and a 2% chance of snow, what's the chance of either rain or snow?
12%, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things about a measurable function is that since you're adding outcomes together, you also have to add their measures together. Because the measure of any individual outcome is the probability of that outcome, and the measure of a group of those is the measure of its union, where a union is basically everything that that either one or both encompasses.
You know, it kind of makes me think about that book of swindles that you showed me, the Chinese book of swindles, with like all the people in ancient China. Because this sounds like the kind of scam they would run where they'd bet somebody on the weather. And they would be using it to like blindside them with something else. They'd just keep losing every day. It's sunny. And then like,
yeah, also, I think your mind is on that because we've been listening to Behind the Bastards where they talk about grifters continuously.
Yeah. And also that book of swindles. I'm just imagining somebody like gambling on the weather now.
Yeah. They just get enough people to gamble every day for rain.
Yeah. And then they just like, they're like, you know, just robbing them blind while they're actually gambling. They're like, breaking into their houses.
So it seems like it's going to be like a convoluted mathematical scheme, but then it just turns out to be
just theft.
Theft.
Yeah, just theft. Yeah. Well, I mean, it works. I mean, and that book, you showed me people that like stole cloth and like would like claim they were catching a thief by stealing the cloth from the guy's store.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Gabriel, have I shown you the Book of Swindles?
No, that sounds like a great book, though.
And it's basically steal this book from the 17th century China.
Okay. Whoa. Interesting. That'd be a great episode for Nerd Forensics. I think that would do very well.
It would do. Yeah, I think we should definitely do an episode about the Book of Swindles. We're actually planning on doing an episode about the Three Kingdoms, the War of the Three Kingdoms, pretty soon.
Okay, cool. I'm not even aware of that. I'll look forward to hearing that one as well.
And then China, in ancient China, they used a lot of dice, and dice are part of random variables, which is what we're talking about to segue.
No, bring us back home. Yeah,
take us back home.
But no, definitely. So I was just going to say that a die is an example of a random variable that goes that you could go from numbers to numbers, right?
Yes.
Because you know, if you have like a D20, each probability through 1 through 20 has a certain likelihood, right?
Yes.
Of 1/20th.
Yep.
All right, now we're going to talk about real-valued random variables. So real-valued random variables is what we're going to talk about next. And they're defined on the real line, right, from negative infinity to infinity. They're usually talked about in terms of their probability density function. And what the probability density function is like, Millie, you know the bell curves, right?
Vaguely.
Yeah, it's like for height, the bell curve, so like the horizontal, the x-axis...
Yes.
Would be like the height. So like at around like 5'8" for at least women in the United States, I believe there'd be a small bump like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The value of the probability density function is the relative likelihood that someone has that height. Because you could think about each value is like, so the likelihood isn't how far it is up on the bell curve, because for that to be true, you'd have to be like, okay, this person is exactly this many feet, this many inches, and this many nanometers, and this many everything high, right?
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, it's an exact height, and nobody is exactly the height that somebody else is, or that somebody else would even guess that somebody is, right? Because if it's a random variable, then you'd have to be like, okay, this person's exactly like 6 feet, 1 inches, and like 930 point whatever nanometers, et cetera.
I've seen a man at the carnival do that.
Let's actually look at that. So to look at that, I'm going to weave in the cumulative density function and the standard normal distribution. So the standard normal distribution is basically the bell curve, right? So for height, it would be like, you know, you'd see a bump at whatever, at like, you know, 5'8" for American women.
Yes.
Let's say that you're a really, really lazy carny, right?
Yeah.
And you say, I'm going to guess everyone's height within 1.5 inches or else you win a prize. So 1.5 inches happens to be actually what's known as the standard deviation for height in women about. So what that means for a bell curve is that we've talked about it on the show before, but it bears repeating, it's called the 98.7 rule, meaning that 68% of everyone is between -1 and 1 standard deviations away from the average, right?
Yes.
So what that would mean is that... about 68% of people, or around 70% of, you know, people, are away from the average height. So if you make the prize worth just a teeny bit more than the entry fee, you could actually just keep guessing the same height for everyone and make a profit.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
Yeah, you'd just be like 5'8". Well, no, okay. 5'8", but I mean, so yeah, you could have somebody be like, you know, a completely blind height teller.
Oh, I get it now. It's a scam.
No.
All right, we could also do a couple more things with a random variable defined on the real line. We could also do the expected value, and that's the value that is most likely or average to come out of a random variable. So for height, it would be basically the average of everybody's height because it's a bell curve is the same on both sides. To give a more concrete example, if you wanted to guess something that is the least far away from any random die roll, what number do you think you would choose?
So like 2.5, even though you'd never get that?
Something like that, but yeah, what do you think, Millie?
I just go with 3 since the mean.
Yeah, well, actually, you're very close. The mean is actually 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6.
Sorry, the median.
We actually will use the mean in this case. And the reason why is because the expected value is actually just the mean.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So basically, it's 1 times 1 sixth plus 2 times 1 sixth all the way to 6 times 1 sixth, which is 21 sixths. Which is 3.5.
I meant to say 3.5 earlier, not 2.5. Sorry.
I was closer than the smart people. I was closer than the smart people.
I beat the smart kids. I beat the smart kids.
Oh! Now that we know about expected value, right? Because expected value is just sum of the random variable times the domain variable, right? So like x times f of x. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
With dice, it's that. Continuous random variables, we use an integral. An integral is just a way of talking about chopping up a function into an infinite number of slices and then adding the area together under the function. Mm-hmm. So the area under the bell curve, the entire bell curve, is always 1 on any bell curve.
Okay, then.
And can you guess why, based on what we've said so far?
Because that's the margin of error.
Actually, because it's if you think about it, you add together outcomes to get the total outcome, right?
Yes.
So the probability of something happening, if we expect something to happen, is 1, right?
Okay, yeah.
And that's why.
Yeah. Okay. Now I get it. I get it now.
And don't feel bad for not getting it immediately.
So that Spider-Man thing, the bell curve would be 1.
Yeah. The probability that he'll have to fight anyone over time is 1, yeah, because you...
Yeah, I'm sure he just gets, like, shot at randomly, like, some days gets bricks thrown at him,
and
then that's the last time he deals with that guy.
And each one of those can be modeled as a statistical random variable. You could model the bullet as a random vector made out of random variables. You could model whether it hits as a...
Moro Casino! America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
A random variable that's basically a weighted coin, that, and you could actually model it for either criminals as a whole or for each criminal individually, the average amount of times they would hit Spider-Man.
Well, that is a fun problem. I like it.
And of course, we have variance, which is the expected value that the random variable deviates from the expected value. Square the difference of that random variable. Does that make sense to everyone?
Yes, it does.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically how far are we from the mean on average? So for a die, so the standard deviation of a die, for example, is you take how far away each one is from the expected value. So what's the expected value again?
3.5.
Yeah, so 1 is 2.5 away, 2 is 1.5 away, 3 is half away, 4 is half away, and so on. And it turns out that if you add up the squares and divide by the amount of samples there are total, you get 17.5 divided by 6, which is 2.916. So now we're going to talk about how to add two random variables together. If x is your first random variable and y is your second one, it's just known as x plus y. The expected value of this is a sum of the two expected values. So here's an example that we can give is with two dice, right? So if you throw two dice, do y'all know what the most common die roll is?
Either no, I don't.
Well, check it out. How many ways are there to get, with two dice, how many ways are there to get the number two?
Oh.
There's only one. Yeah. Oh, you meant with two dice. Yeah, so
yeah, yeah, just dice, one way.
The most common, I'd have to say, is probably seven. It's probably seven.
Yeah, it is, actually.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, because it goes two has one way, three has two ways, 4 has 3 ways, etc. But also 12 only has 1 way, 11 has 2 ways, and if those two numbers come together at 7. And if you crunch the numbers, to get a 2 with 2 dice, you have about a 2.8% chance. But to get a 7, you have about a 16.7% chance, which I think is kind of fascinating. And the way that you do this, the way that you could represent this mathematically is known as a convolution. So, Millie, how familiar are you with the integral?
Not.
Okay, so basically what an integral is it's like if we have a function, it's the area beneath a certain portion of the function, right?
Yeah.
So, if we have a line that's going at 0, at 0, at 1, it's 1, at 2, it's 2, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
If we put a wedge at 1, right, it'll be a triangle that's 1 on each side, right?
Yeah.
And the area of this triangle would be half of the area of the square, right? That yeah. encompasses it. So it would be the area would just be 1/2, which means that the integral of this line from 0 to 1 is 1/2.
Okay.
And we talked about a teeny bit earlier, and that's the operation that we used for continuous random variables. So if we wanted to, if we have a function that represents our probability density function for height, if we want to know how many people are between 4'7" and 5'1", we take the integral from 4'7" to 5'1" of that function.
Okay.
So does that make sense? Kind of yeah. like a sum? Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's like the sum. Yeah.
So the convolution of two functions, the way that that's done is kind of interesting. Do you know what it means to multiply two functions?
No, I do not. I mean, I do, but it's been like 15 years, so I don't.
Oh, yeah. So this one's actually super simple. The value of f times g, where those are two different functions, at some point x is just f at x times g at x. So you just multiply the graphs together at each point.
Okay.
And the convolution of two functions, f and g, is, okay, erase this. So you have your two functions, right? You could, let's say you graph them on the same line. So you have these two different functions.
Mm-hmm.
You flip one of them around.
Mm-hmm.
And then you multiply them. And then that's your value at zero. You move the function over to like one or whatever. Then you multiply them. You take the integral over the whole thing. That's your value at one.
Yeah.
So it's basically like you slide this function over and you calculate the product at each point. And that's known as a convolution.
Hmm. Okay, I get it now.
And that's what you actually were doing. That's what we were actually doing with the dice earlier. Because if you think about it, if you have like, if you put every number from 2 to 12 on a piece of paper, and you just tally each one up, you tally 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, then you tally 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, then you tally 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and you keep tallying 6 things each time, and you'll get the distribution 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, with 6 at, like you said, the most likely value, which is 7.
7, yeah.
And a convolution, so the formula, for anyone out there who wants to know, is the integral over the real numbers of f of z times g of x minus z dz, where x is the point at which we wanted to know the convolution. And discrete convolution is just the sum of the two functions. So it's just either the sum or the integral. And so the cool thing about the convolution, this is why I made sure to bring it up so much, is because let's say we take any random variable, right, whatsoever.
Yeah.
And we convolve it with each other, with itself enough times, no matter how spiky it starts off, it'll eventually turn into a bell curve.
Oh, okay.
And believe it or not, that's deeply related to just the idea of probability in as a concept, like the idea that there's an expected value of anything at all, or that probability can be measured. We'll talk about that deep relationship at another episode, I think, too. But yeah, I thought it'd be worth touching on. So now we're going to talk about functions of random variables in general. So the function of a random variable is like you apply a function to the outcomes. So for example, you could have like, you know, y be one random variable, and that you could say that's equal to x squared, right? Where x is another random variable. And it's like the height thing where you add them two together, but now you're squaring things. But it turns out that to get the new probability density function, it's actually a little bit more convoluted than you might think. So the cumulative density function, right, of let's say that we have y equals g of x, right? And that the inverse of g is h. Millie, do you know what a functional inverse is?
Functional inverse, it's the opposite of something, right?
Yeah, it's basically how you get back to where you got started. For positive numbers, the inverse function for squaring is the square root.
Okay.
Because it takes you back. Or like the inverse function for x plus 3 is x minus 3. Because because 3 plus 3 is 6, but then 6 minus 3 is 3. So you get back to where you started.
Okay.
So you have the property that the function of the inverse of that function of some value x is always just x.
Okay.
So, and there are some functions that aren't invertible, but we're not going to be talking about them in this section because they'd require a little bit too much fussing, and there's actually a pretty good Wikipedia article on that. But the cumulative density function of y, which is equal to, like we said, g of x at some point, is equal to the probability that g of x is less than or equal to y, where x is the random variable that we're operating on. Is it clear why that's the case?
Not entirely.
So the reason why that's the case is because the cumulative density function is the probability that a value is less than a certain other value, right?
Yes.
And since we're doing the cumulative density function with respect to y, but we're doing a function on y, but y is a function on x, we need to apply the function that we are talking about to x to make sure that's less than y. So what we're doing is we're transforming the numbers from x space, x is kind of like space, into y space. So like, yeah, let's say we're doing like a relationship between like heights and BMIs. So we're translating from heights to BMIs, and then we're just doing a new function based on that.
Oh, okay, yeah, and you'd inverse the two to see. Okay, I get it now.
And it turns out that the cumulative density function, if it's increasing, is just equal to the cumulative density function of y is equal to the cumulative function in x's domain of the inverse function of g, which is h of y. So you have f of y is equal to f of x of h of y, which, you know, nobody needs to actually be able to remember that from speech. But you just take that value and you subtract it from one if h is decreasing.
Okay.
But it turns out that if you want the probability density function, you just take the derivative of that. And Millie, the derivative is just the opposite of the integral.
Yeah.
So it's how fast something is changing versus the total value sum over time.
Okay.
Basically you have the probability density function of y is equal to probability density function of x of h of y. So basically you plug a function into a function. And then you take that and then you multiply that by the derivative of h with respect to y. So, I just thought I'd bring that up because it's kind of weird to work with random variables sometimes because of how you'd think that just adding, you know, random variables would be easy. But then it's like, okay, the standard deviation is not just the sum of the two standard deviations, but you have to also add in their covariance and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I get it.
So now we're going to talk a little bit about representing discrete random variables on the real domain. So, Gabriel, do you remember from grad school dealing with operational calculus?
Oh, gosh. Brings me back. Yes, I do.
And do you want to go over the Dirac function?
Yes, absolutely. Dirac function. This is a very brilliant physicist, Paul Dirac. So basically, this is a function where it is on a line. It's infinity at zero, and it's zero everywhere else. Now, the integral over the real line is defined as one.
So basically, does that make sense so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if any of our listeners are having trouble following, just to sum up, right, Gabriel, what you said is that this function is infinite at zero. It's not actually, this imaginary infinite value. Yes. That has, it's basically, you could think about it as like a rectangle that's infinitely tall and zero wide, yes. Like a 1x1 rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
So, Gabriel, what if we want to move the Dirac function over?
Oh, yeah, you can do that. Just, simply add minus whatever, how many degrees in X you want to move it over.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So if you want the infinite part to be at, for example, 1,
mm-hmm.
Then we use Dirac of X minus 1.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And if we wanted the sum of over infinity to be pi, we'd use pi times Dirac of x, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, so as to not make the same mistake that we often do, or rather that I complain about, that's done in math education, is where you explain what a concept is, but then you don't explain, well, why did Dr. Dirac think that the world needed this function? What's the purpose of it?
Well, what's cool is that we could actually use this function to represent discrete random variables on the real domain, right? Yes. So let's say the probability of we want to roll something less than a 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
If we had an infinite spike at 1, 2, and 3, and each of those infinite spikes had a integral of 1/6 of area of 1/6, right? If we took the sum of everything together, we'd get 1/2, right?
Yes.
And so that allows us to talk about these integrals in terms of steps. So it allows us to model steps. So for example, this Heaviside step function is just the integral of the Dirac function. So it's 0 from negative infinity to 0, and then it's 1 onward. And Gabriel, you were actually talking about the stepped functions earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That could be represented as different Heaviside functions.
Yes.
I mean, a summation of Heaviside functions.
Mm-hmm. Heaviside, he's a very interesting guy to read about. I believe he was almost homeless most of his life, in fact.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about Heaviside.
Yeah, his brother was a very famous businessman in the world of electrical engineering, and he was often characterized as sort of a misfit. He wanted very little to do with business affairs. Yeah, and he was a brilliant mathematician, but just had a real hard time fitting in. Oliver Heaviside was his name. I have an entire book on him in my house, actually.
And by the way, so if we wanted the distribution of two dice summed together, we could actually convolve using the integral formula from before. So then we get this fun looking function, which is that the probability density function of two dice summed together is equal to the integral from negative infinity to infinity of the product of the sum from I equals 1 to 6 of the Dirac function of z minus I. And then you take that summation and multiply it by another summation from j equals 1 to 6 of Dirac of z minus x minus j. D of Z, which is, I just think it's fun because it just looks so impenetrable. And yeah, what that function will look like, the way that I graph the Dirac function when I'm graphing it actually, is I just draw a line up to the number that it's talking about, like a vertical line, and I draw an X at that point. And I just remember that means Dirac function is infinite there, but it has, but it's multiplied by, like, for example, 2. So using this notation, you would just see, be a spike at, it would be a little spike at 2, then a bigger spike at 3, 4, 5, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, basically. And yeah, if you wanted to work that out even further, it's left as an exercise to the reader. Yeah, I mean, it'll be kind of fun to do, though. You might learn a thing or two about operational calculus during it, and you will need to know summation arithmetic. Random variables are a concrete way of talking about what might happen. They also allow us to interact with statistics that we've gathered in ways that can be analyzed mathematically. We interact with random variables every day, from how long it'll take to get to where we're going to who you'll see first. An intuitive understanding of random variables, at least to some degree, is therefore needed to interact with our world. If that weren't the case, then there would be no surprise or boredom. I'm Sophia.
And I'm Gabriel.
And this has been Breaking Math. With us, we had on our guest, Millicent Oriana. You want to plug your pluggables?
Of course I want to plug my pluggables. I am Millicent Oriana, host of Nerd Forensics. And you can catch me anywhere you get this podcast. Just look up Nerd Forensics. You can also contact me at Twitter at Camp Pod Millie, and that's Camp with a K. Thank you.
Any thoughts from either of you about random variables after this episode?
This lends itself very well to discussions both on critical thinking, skepticism, as well as many other fields with understanding and modeling our universe. Hopefully we'll do some great problems episodes that involve statistics and stochastic methods.
Oh yeah, I know that the guy from Math with Bad Drawings, right? Oh, and we've had a couple of books that have a lot of stuff about the psychology of probability, actually. That might be an episode that we get to at some point. Don't want to promise anything because in the past I've said we're going to do an episode and then we haven't done it before, and I don't want that to happen again, but it's definitely in our thoughts.
That's a statistics problem in of itself. What's the probability that we're going to do an episode on probability? You know, a meta self-aware thing here. Tune in and find out.
Or don't, if it's not tune-inable. But yeah, Minnelli, any final thoughts?
I don't know why, but just all this talk of probabilities made me start thinking of like ancient China, Chinese warfare. And for some reason, I also start thinking about people getting hit by random objects from space.
Oh, I know. Oh, actually, a fun fact about that. There's an XKCD that points out that if you're a 30% free throw shooter, then the odds will be even for you making 30 shots in a row versus a meteor falling through the hoop. Isn't that kind of interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you have a higher free throw percentage, then it's different. But yeah, if you want to play basketball against a meteor, good luck scoring or even knowing who wins before anyone dies.
Yeah.
This is Sophia Baca, and this has been the Deathcast. No, just kidding.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun.
That just makes me think of Hartman from Death Stranding.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.